Good morning once again. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 20 will serve as our text. Some have called this the most romantic verse in the Bible. We read, "So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love that he had for her." So first let us put this in its context, beginning in verse 15. "Then Laban said to Jacob, 'Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?' Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, 'I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter.' And Laban said, 'It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me.' So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love that he had for her. And then Jacob said to Laban, 'Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled that I may go into her.' And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. And so it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, 'What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?' And Laban said, 'It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years.' And then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife also, and Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. And then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years." Now the theme this morning is a celebration of love, marriage, and family, a fitting theme for Valentine's Day, which is a good holiday insofar as it promotes love. For God Himself is love. A little bit of background to our scripture, our sermon text. Jacob, who was also called Israel, was the son of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham. Abraham, the heirs of the promise. Jacob had deceived his way to his father's blessing, and his brother Esau sought Jacob's life because of that. His mother Rebekah got wind of this and sent Jacob off to her brother's house in Haran. So after a month's time, Jacob agrees to terms with Laban regarding his wages. What goes around comes around. He who sought the birthright by deception would himself be deceived. Leah is given to Jacob instead of Rachel, and Jacob is not aware of this until morning. So now you might ask, how in the world could he not know that this was Leah and not Rachel? Well, according to custom, Leah, the bride, had been brought to him veiled by night. So it was not until the following morning that Jacob would become aware of the deception. And this other thing about that Laban said there in verse 26, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn," is that's just a bunch of foolishness. This is just something that Laban came up with to justify his deception. I mean, otherwise the custom would have been well known, number one. And number two, why didn't he just tell him up front? So we find that Laban is as much of a deceiver, if not more so, than Jacob himself. So apparently this is something that ran in the family. Jacob does, notwithstanding, subsequently receive Rachel as a wife, But the days of his service to Laban now would go from 7 years to 14 years. Now, the Bible does not endorse polygamy. Marriage was created by God as the monogamous relationship between one man and one woman from the beginning, back in the book of Genesis chapter 2. Nevertheless, Scripture records events honestly as they occurred historically. We don't find a whole lot of details left out here, and that's because they're all included as historical fact. God does not go out of his way to excuse those who are in violation of his perfect standards. He simply records things as they occurred. So we don't take this as an endorsement of polygamy, as some have. Within our sermon proper, there are two areas of application of our text. First, relating to conjugal and, if you will, romantic love. Conjugal love is simply another term for marital love. Secondly, as a picture of our Savior's love. A Christian sermon is no sermon at all if it leaves out the Savior. First, relating to conjugal love. Now, our text reads, "So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love that he had for her." Now, conjugal love is that special love which exists or ought to exist between husband and wife. We read in our text that Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. So we see that if nothing else, love is patient. We also see that love involves courtship. Now, 7 years was a bit extreme. It was an arbitrary time frame set by Laban, which in fact was extended to 14, as we saw, the normal period of betrothal by agreement was 1 year. Jacob, as he served, we may imagine, although it was not explicitly stated in our text, stole some glances here and there at Rachel. He may have went out of his way to bring her thoughtful gifts. Matter of fact, when they first met, he was looking for ways to help her out with the sheep, to do his chivalrous duty, as it were. He may have even put an X on each day of his 7-year Hebrew calendar. Jacob did not engage in relations with Rachel prior to the appointed day. Rachel herself kept pure. Indeed, it is written, "Marriage is honorable among all, in the bed undefiled." Let me now call your attention to the fact that Jacob served. True love involves service and the sacrifice of what we want to do for ourselves. We don't get to eat what we want to eat, watch what we want to watch, do the things that we want to do. We defer to the one whom we love. In fact, we give of our time, our abilities, our natural gifts, and if we're Christians, our spiritual gifts. And we serve first and foremost in the home. This type of service begins our courtship. A man or a woman who will not sacrifice at all during courtship will not sacrifice at all in marriage either. So if you're not married, put that in your memory banks. You may want to remember that before you make a grave mistake. Our text also says that they seemed only a few days to him because of the love that he had for her. So Jacob's love was both conjugal in the sense that his love was with a view to marrying this woman that he loved. And this conjugal love would, of course, continue into the marriage. That intent and that commitment was always there, wholeheartedly. But it was also romantic. No sacrifice was too great for Jacob if it were for Rachel, the one whom he loved. No day went by without Jacob's thoughts moving to his betrothed wife. Although he toiled long and hard, he still made the time to think, to pray, to meditate, and to thank God, looking forward to the time that he would be able to spend with Rachel. Like a lily among thorns, so was she to him. Married people, remember the days you felt that way. Remember and recapture. Unmarried people, I say it again. Settle not for less. Courtship, romance, love, and sacrifice are the way of it. If this were not so, then the Song of Solomon would not have found its way into your Bible, into the Holy Scriptures. If anybody tells you that there is no romance and there is no romantic love in the Scriptures, they have not read the Song of Solomon. Our text may be applied, secondly, as a picture of our Savior's love. This conjugal love and romantic love will not likely last if there is no glue holding it together. And God, through His Son, provides the divine bond, as it were. For it is written, a three-strand cord is not easily broken. All Scripture, both Old Testament and New, speaks of Jesus Christ. Did not Moses write of Him? The people and the stories in the Bible, they speak of our Lord Jesus in type. Every time you read something in the Scriptures, ask yourself, what does this tell me about my Lord? Courtship and conjugal love are lofty subjects, to be sure, on a human level. But they are loftier still when applied to the spiritual realm. The divine book gives practical advice and examples as they relate to earthly matters. How much more so do we receive indispensable advice, no less practical examples as they relate to heavenly matters? As Jacob served long for the object of his affection, so too did our Lord serve long for us, for you. Did we not sing about it in the opening? We sing that we desire to love like Jesus loves. But can we? But do we? Do we apprehend the greatness of His love? The eternal Son of God was conceived in the womb, born into the world, lived to serve, lived to die. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The days of the Lord's spiritual service were long and hard. He served not 7 years and not 14, but 33 or 34. And if the years he gave out of love for you had not been enough, Jesus would gladly have tarried 7 more years to secure his choice of his bride, the church. That's you, believer. Scripture calls the church the Lamb's wife. So in marital love, we have a picture of the spiritual life that Jesus has for the church. And in the perfect picture of Christ's love for the church, we have an example of what our marriages ought to be. Now, they'll never be perfect. They'll never quite be that. But we have a goal to strive for. Each of us individually, and each of us as a couple. Our Lord received the wages due to us, for the wages of sin is death. And his beloved, his church, received the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Husbands, you enjoy giving gifts to your wives. Wives, you enjoy giving gifts to your husbands. But how much more so does our Lord enjoy giving gifts to those who believe upon him, regardless of ethnicity or even marital status? For all of the work of Christ for us, it seemed only a few days to him because of the love that he has for us. Well then, 3 days it would be. Christ arose on the third day, and his kingdom has come. And his beloved church, even now, awaits the marriage supper. Moreover, the Lord is pleased to continue making intercession for us for as long as it takes. So may we humbly accept his acts of selfless love on our behalf. May we receive his salvation. May we imitate the Savior's love in our courtships, in our marriages, and in all our relationships. Let us now pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the divine example of what true love really is like. We thank you that you died for us because you love sacrificially. You sacrificed your body, shed your blood to pay the debt that we could never pay, to reconcile us to you so that we might have peace with you, and more than that, that you might provide help for us. That because you first loved us, that we might love you and we might learn to love as Jesus loved, to love like Jesus loves, with regard to our neighbor, our friends, our family, our children, our parents, the one whom you've called to be with us for life. Our life partner, our spouse. We thank you, God, for your enabling grace that gives us the power and the ability to love like this. We need more of that. Help us individually to display that love in our relationships. Not pointing fingers at others or judging the way that others are going about loving, but doing the best that we can, even in this sinful flesh. God, grant us forgiveness. Forgiveness for our sins, for our offenses against you, for every sin is an offense against you, God. We pray that you give us the power, the grace, the capacity for mercy, to be able to forgive those closest to us who maybe have hurt us in times past. Lord, we thank you for being there at all times and in all things. God, bless the marriages in this church. Bless the parents and the children. Bless the people who are single of all ages. Lord, may you impress upon them the truths with regard to what love, Christian love, really is, and what Christian courtship is as well. That though many of us have made mistakes in the past, that informed by your word and informed by your spirit, we won't remake them. God, grant us peace and a beautiful spirit the remainder of the service in this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now offer one another the sign of peace.